Now let's take an Arab. Something plants within him the idea that he has to go out and kill a Jew. And we say, what plants this idea? God said, thou shalt not kill. Therefore, it wouldn't be God planting an idea to kill. And then we go to the other side, and we see the same idea is planted in the mind of the Israeli. It says, now you go out and kill that Arab. But God said, thou shalt not kill. So therefore, God didn't plant that idea in the mind of the Israeli. In fact, the whole Old Testament is completely devoted to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so we see the Arab and the Israeli living in the Old Testament of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Ignored is, I say unto you, you have heard it said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, turn the other cheek. Now then, the Christ message is not only in the Christian Bible. It's in the Quran, and the Arabs can read it. It's in the Old Testament, and the Hebrews can read it. It's in the Torah, it's in the Talmud. It is in the scriptures of the world. It makes no difference where a human being is on the face of the earth. There is a scripture presented by the Christ within, coming forth in the form of a Bible, a Bhagavad Gita, a Koran. Always the celestial word is present. And it does not say, thou shalt kill. It says, thou shalt not. Now then, when the Arab kills the Jew, when the Jew kills the Arab, your next question might be, inasmuch as God didn't plant this authority or this desire within a man, what did? And finally, to face the fact that God did not protect the Hebrew against the Arab, and God did not protect the Arab against the Hebrew. The Israelis may send planes into villages and kill people who have no knowledge whatsoever, or even a desire to kill. They can be children, they can be mothers, and the Arabs can be just as indiscriminate. Why isn't God protecting the underprivileged or the ones who are without the desire to kill, who have not earned the right to be killed? And finally, we face that far away, which we're not willing to face in our own backyard. God does not protect what is not God's creation. The human form is not protected. It's very clear that 11 human forms in the Olympic Village were not protected by God. It's very clear that those who received death through retaliation in the Arab countries were not protected by God. Why? They were not created by God. Now, once you face this, you must look around you and say, did God not create those 11 and create all the rest? Did God create everyone else on earth but those 11? And finally, you see the message clear that God did not create human form anywhere. And in this class, this is what we learn to accept. There is no human form created by God. And it is important at this level of our work to come to grips with this and to either accept it and abide by it and act accordingly, or to realize that you are pursuing a teaching of your own which is not the Christ teaching. Know ye henceforth no man after the flesh, for the simple reason that my kingdom is not of this world. Now, if we can proceed from that point of view, that the human form is not a divine creation, and that no human being is empowered by the divine to bring forth human forms, we can begin to get an idea of what the human form is. so that we cannot be mesmerized into treating the human form as a divine reality. Now, in our 15th chapter of John, we find that I am the vine, the invisible self of every man, is a fact not accepted on the earth. The Arab who kills the Jew and the Jew who kills the Arab, or when our own nation kills in the Viet Cong, we are also being led by an impulse which is not divine. It matters not what our motives may be, even if they were protection, specific protection of our own lives. Thou shalt not kill is a deeper revelation of the fact that there's no one there to be killed. The self that is there is invisible, and all we're doing is not recognizing the omnipresent you. We're turning away from your own self, which is there, and killing that which we think is there. And so in the process, Christ is unrecognized. I, the vine, remain unrecognized because there is a world mind. Now, most of us have at least been alert enough not to blame the Arab and not to blame the Jew. We have learned by now that world mind is that which outpictures itself as person. And if you have at least come that far, well, you know, form is an outpicturization of world mind. Then you're really in the mysticism of the Christ message. Every form you're looking at is world mind made visible. And it is necessary to pierce the veil of that form, to place no guilt upon that form, to place no guilt upon the person who kills, to place no guilt upon the person who retaliates. Because this is the world mind in us placing guilt upon what it itself has performed. We are alert to the many disguises of the world mind when we are living in the consciousness that Christ is present. Now, where the Arab attacks the Jew and vice versa, where the white attacks the black and vice versa, where one nation attacks another and vice versa, you are watching the performance of world mind. And it is the tempter. It is saying to you, watch. Here's this man with a gun. He pulls the trigger. Watch that man over there fall down. And world mind is saying to you, where is God in this picture? Why is God watching one kill another? And when you put the guilt on this one or that one, you're falling into the trap of believing that this is happening in the kingdom of God. Or you're falling into the temptation to believe that the kingdom of God is not there, but what you are witnessing is there. You're accepting form. You're accepting physical senses which perceive form. And what you're not accepting is the invisible kingdom of God present, completed, perfect, imperishable, indestructible, and without opposite. You're watching the world imagination in form present the drama of lies, the temptation to believe that matter is here and spirit is not. And in your highest state of consciousness, you can look at this, place no guilt on that one, no guilt on this one, but rather see the non-life that appears to human senses in form. There is no life performing these acts. There is animated, images called form. And this is an essential of the Christ consciousness. Now we have to proceed to build a permanent consciousness that all that I perceive as form in this human world is not divine creation and therefore is non-life, non-existence appearing to mortal sense. Unless I can accept this and practice this knowingly, world-minded me is going to continue its delusion and wear its many disguises. It is going to create and it is going to destroy what it creates, and I am going to bear witness to this falsehood unless I am enlightened, lifted above the world mind. And so this inner teaching in chapter 15 is to lift us out of the world mind, out of the forms of cosmic imagination, out of the forms that are created by not God, but the world mind wearing a disguise called the Lord God. The world mind disguised as the Lord God appears right back there in Genesis to Adam and Eve, dividing them into the belief in good and evil, appearing to them as form, tempting them with deceit, and finally condemning their complete progeny to perdition. How stupid of us to have not recognized that this is not God. This is the disguise of the world mind, which has convinced our world that it is God. And every day we find our world worshiping this Lord God, which is the invisible world mind, praying to it, asking it for help, and receiving no help. You can be sure the entire nation of Israel has prayed, but it hasn't helped. The Arabs in their fashion must pray, but it hasn't helped. The Viet Cong is praying. We are praying, the world is praying, and we can't even keep afloat an athletic competition on an international scale, in spite of all our prayers. Why? Because the ultimate fact must be faced that there are no human methods to solve the problems of the human race. You cannot do it humanly, and you will be tricked again and again to try to do it. There are no human methods that will work. Only the invisible vine. The world mind is exposed in chapter 15 as never before. Now says the Christ in us, ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what he doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not any sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. In these words, the Christ in us awakens us to be alert to the disguises of the world mind. This is the revelation of that mind of the world which functions as the individual human mind of every person who walks the earth. So that when the world mind speaks through one saying, kill, it is really speaking to everyone on the earth. And in greater or lesser degrees, we are, in our subconscious hearing, kill. If we have progressed beyond the point of responding, all the better. But the latent impulse is always there. When it says to one Arab, kill, it is saying it throughout the world. That is why it comes to the surface as war, or as permissiveness to let nations go to war, as a capacity to stand aside and watch your own nation go to war. The word kill is spoken universally when it is heard by even one. And so with hate, and so with fear, and so with lack, and so with limitation. We're all glued into one world mind through our individual human mind, and unless you're conscious of it, you are a servant of that mind. But now, those who follow the inner Christ, here called the disciples, are told, you are no longer servants. I have taken you out of the world mind. You were wired to the world mind and all its evil, all its anti-Christ, all its ignorance of God. And you were servants of the world mind. And this then applies to us, to the degree that we are not aware of Christ within, we are servants of the world mind, even though we may not know it. It is not a voluntary condition. It's a subconscious condition. Each person born into form is not in the kingdom of God and is therefore in a state of servitude to the world mind. And make no mistake about it, that person born into form, that form, is a creation of the world mind. And the world mind is going to run that form. Unless there is a consciousness born in that form that takes it out of the world mind. We may be a little late in getting started in our own forms, but nonetheless, if we have followed the Christ within to the best of our ability, Spirit within is saying to us at this moment, ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Now take an ordinary servant and see the comparison. The servant has a job to do, a duty. He has no choice. This is his job. And his Lord and Master says, do this, and the servant does this. We have not known that, but this is what the world mind has been doing with us. We have been servants of it. Separated from our own selfhood, servants to the world mind, mesmerized. That is the state of hypnosis into which every child is born, in the world consciousness that we have had up to this point. But having accepted the inner Christ, now the Spirit says to us, the servant knoweth not what he doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Having been alerted, having been opened, we now obey the Christ, not as a servant would. A servant does it because he must. A servant does it for duty. A servant does it for reward. We elect to obey the Christ. The understanding of Christ within gives us a choice. You can or you cannot follow the Christ. And if you elect to follow the Christ, you are called the elect, because you have elected to follow the Christ. And that is not out of servitude, but out of wisdom. Not out of duty, but out of knowledge. And not for reward, but because something inside is open to understand that this is the way to fulfillment. And so now, Christ in us makes us friends rather than servants. In our spiritual freedom, we elect to choose Christ. We elect to step out of the world mind which enslaves mankind. The mind that makes man do what man does not know he is being made to do. And we are no longer dominated, we are taking our dominion. And so we are now to say we are either servants of the world mind or friends of Christ. And then a strange thing, but ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, many have often wondered about, what does it mean that you have not chosen me, I have chosen you? And even though there have been many explanations, there are certain factors that we still haven't clarified. Now remember, if we abide in Christ, we bear fruit richly, and we are lifted higher. If we do not abide in Christ and do not bear fruit, we are purged. Now this choosing refers to that. The fact that you have been chosen means that you have borne fruit. You are not cast away. You are not a branch cast away because you are a chosen branch. Chosen because in some way you have managed to sever the bonds of world karma, of world dominion, of world mind, and to proceed to your own inner drummer, to march to the invisible impulse of the Christ within, to make that effort. And so those who have done this are chosen. They're not cast away, is the meaning of chosen. And then, because I have chosen you, all that goes with this choosing is included. Once you are chosen, once you are accepted as a disciple of Christ, that means the government is no longer on your shoulders. That which chooses you sustains you. All this is implied in, I have chosen you. Do you not realize that by being chosen, you are given all of the weapons necessary to attain total fulfillment? Once you know you have been chosen and not discarded, then you must know that the infinite, with its omnipresent mind and omnipresent power and omnipresent love, is guiding and leading and directing you to the fulfillment of that choosing, so that you can rest back in the ever-present invisible arms of the Father, saying, I recognize the presence of God. And if I were an Israeli, if I were in the Olympic Village, and if there were an attack, I in Christ would be maintained by that which has chosen me. How? By the invisible Spirit of God. By living in the inner place of the Most High, in the knowledge that I am the invisible vine of one with the Father, I would find that the Spirit of God cannot be penetrated by those who have a desire to kill. And this is the point then, that when you have been chosen because of your fidelity to Christ within, you are not under the law of man. You are not under the dominion of a world mind impulse coming through the law of man as a desire to kill. It cannot find you. It cannot contact you. There is no way for material man to make contact with spiritual consciousness. And the miracle of the form that is guided and sustained by spiritual consciousness is demonstrated again and again by those who are faithful to the inner Christ. It shall not come nigh thee. But that isn't our purpose for being faithful. That's one of the happy byproducts. Our purpose is to be the individualization of the infinite self, to bear fruit richly in spirit, to live in that which is imperishable. And there's the word here about remaining. That is implying the chosen one is not in a temporary capsule or form. The chosen one is going to find themselves in the eternal body of the Spirit. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should bring, you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The knowledge that you are chosen, that you are spiritually consciousness, spiritually conscious, brings with it the certainty, the awareness, the conviction that you are in an imperishable form of spirit, which is not the visible form. That you have found life, which is not transient, life that remains. And this carries with it an immunity, even in the form, through the action of the Holy Ghost. Not only to the man who would shoot, but to the germ that would infect, to the pestilence, to the poverty, to the famine, to the limitations of the human mind, to the obstacles that normally press everyone on this earth because they are functioning as individuals separated from their own self. Now again, when the Israeli attacks, when the Arab attacks, when the Viet Cong attacks, when the United States attacks, we are going to learn in this work to a place where we can actually know it, that we are attacking ourselves. We are declaring war against our own self. The world mind in us has so disguised itself that we go out and we shoot at ourself, thinking we're shooting at an enemy. Now we've got to come to that place where we can see all that is out there is yourself. There's no Arab out there. There's no Israeli out there. There's no Viet Cong out there. There's no white and there's no black. There's no Christian and there's no Jew. There is only ourself. And this is going to become more and more a literal fact in consciousness, so that everywhere we look we will recognize self, invisible, the invisible Christ vine. There's nothing to shoot at. There's nothing to raise our back up at. There's nothing to be offended by except the illusion of separate selves. There aren't any. That is the reason we are being prepared ever so slowly but firmly into the knowledge of the one infinite self. It is going to be imperative for each of us to develop the consciousness that I am the one infinite self. And the reason that it is imperative is because there's no other way to transcend the human experience. The you of a man, called you man, must give way to the Christ man. And the Christ man is the one infinite self. A measure of awareness of being the one infinite Christ man is the inner Savior. This is how transformation takes place. This is how the Holy Ghost is invited into our experience. This is how we are placed in that cocoon that is not touched by the evils of the world. This is the miracle of how you walk without the need for protection while walking in a world of hate and animosities. You are hid in the one invisible self, even though appearing in the outer form. And the government of God is your sole protector. We can even come to the place where we know we are in a body which is indestructible, a body that is eternal. And you will come to this as you practice the knowledge that the invisible Christ everywhere is not an Arab, is not a Jew, is not a killer, is not a human form, is not a person. You come to the awareness of the impersonal Christ, who is where the persons appear to be. The constant practice of it gives you the feel of it. And then the works, the words, the deeds of the Christ begin to show you that they are the works and the words and the deeds that can function in your own individual experience. Not friends anymore, in the human sense. Not servants, in the human sense. But friends in the spiritual sense. Friends of Christ means we are aware that the one infinite Christ, which is invisible everywhere, is my name. Is the name of the Arab who doesn't know it is his name. The name of the Jew. The name of the Christian. The name of the Hindu. and you wipe out all these labels, you can look at iniquity knowing it is not happening in the invisible Christ. If you still are seeing individual divided selves and accepting that, you are turning against the infinite, undivided, invisible Christ. This is how we're crucifying our own self daily. But being friends now, friends of Christ, and not servants to the world mind, we find a capacity to transcend these appearances that are creating animosity in our world. We look at them without judgment, for our only judgment is, here in me Christ stands, there in him Christ stands, that which is performing is a worldwide illusion. It was an illusion before it killed, and it will be an illusion after it kills. It will continue to be an illusion because it is not my Father's kingdom. Now then, we are friends of Christ to that extent that we are willing and able to look through these world appearances without reaction, without animosity, without fear, knowing that we could be right there, perfectly safe. And that if Spirit needed us there, we would be there. And wherever Spirit needs us, we will be. Always this knowledge that Spirit sustains those whom it has chosen. For I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit. Fruit that remains. You will not work and have your fruitage taken away. The fruitage that remains is your indestructible self. We're coming out of form into life, into Christ life. Not human form, but Christ life. We identify as Christ life. We identify everyone we see as invisible, Christ life. We are not letting the world mind persuade us, fool us, present its imagined world where we know the invisible kingdom of Christ to be. We are the one who is the majority with the invisible Christ. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's interesting. In the 14th chapter, Christ says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now this is a step up. First we're told that what you ask in the name of Christ, Christ will perform. Now we're told that what you ask in the name of Christ, God will perform. Do you see how Christ is just another word for God? God individualizes as you, and we call it Christ, but it's still God. I, Christ, and the Father are one. Christ and God being one, you being Christ, Christ where you are, and God being one, you and the Father are one. But that's true of the Arab. The invisible Christ there is one with God. And so do you know him after the flesh, or do you know him as the invisible Christ? And now go that extra step. If he is the invisible Christ, and you are the invisible Christ, who is he? It's you. The invisible you is there. There's no Arab killing anybody. There's no Israeli being killed. That is the invisible Christ too. The whole world picture must be seen this way, or else you've got two universes, God's universe and another one, God's creation and another one. God doesn't create death. It isn't there. We've got to look through this world. And we've got to look through it now, not tomorrow. Because the time cometh when no man can be about the Father's business unless he has been in the Christ . We are told that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so if we remain as flesh and blood in our own mind, we're kissing the kingdom of God goodbye. We're going to reap of the flesh corruption. The belief in flesh and blood, the belief in matter, is a world mind disguised in us, posing through our human mind as our belief. It must be broken. We cannot accept flesh and blood. We're told instead to drink of the Christ flesh, the Christ blood. And that means to live in the constant awareness of that invisible kingdom of spirit here and now as our native land. We're Americans, or we're Hollanders, or we're Germans, or with something else in this world, but in our consciousness we are inhabitants of the kingdom called spirit. We must consciously be that. You must place your consciousness at that level which stands facing world mind, so that world mind presenting all pictures of destruction to you make no impression, evoke no reaction, because Christ heals by self-recognition. Christ doesn't heal by miracle work. Christ heals by recognizing Christ everywhere. You carry your own healing with you. You heal by recognizing yourself where the world sees someone else. Where the world sees hate and war, you recognize your invisible self. That is your healing of the lie of the world mind. In this, you are one with the vine, one with the infinite, and the grace of the tree of life flows through you. You have seen the temptation, witnessed the temptation, and you've been able to stand and face the temptation with the knowledge that all that is ever present is the Spirit of God. The allness of God, the one invisible permeating all self of God as the only life, becomes the deep God-centering of our consciousness. Friends of Christ. Not servants of the world mind, bowing to its every impulse, to its every false picture. Naturally, it's difficult, so the Spirit pre-warns us. These things I command that ye love one another. And this is a third repetition. Love one another. It doesn't say, except that Arab or that Israeli. Or except this particular individual and not that one. It says, love one another. This is unqualified, because one another is the revelation of spiritual identity. One unseparated, seamless robe. Seamless robe of spirit in your Christ awareness is what you recognize. So you love the invisible spirit where the world sees a killing Arab and a dead Israeli. You love it simply by recognizing all that is there is your invisible spirit. This is the acceptance of one infinite self. And that's why it is repeated three times that ye love one another. This is a revelation of one invisible self. We're always caught unawares when we see injustice. You may think that Father Berrigan was not guilty, and there was a government conspiracy against him. You may feel that in some way others could have done what he finally did and not have received the same punishment. You may feel many kinds of injustice, but the only real injustice is the belief that injustice can exist. You must overcome the belief that it exists. It cannot exist. If it exists, you have denied yourself. There is no injustice being done there where Christ is. This takes you out of being a servant to the conditioned world mind. It makes you look foolish to your contemporaries, and this is the cause of many of the persecutions. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. There you are. The world will say, well, how can you say that that was the right thing for them to do? Or that they were justified in killing, or that they were justified in retaliating? How can you say that? And so don't say it, but know the truth. Wherever Christ is, the world mind will hate that Christ. Wherever truth is, the lie will hate that truth. The world that hates us, who elect to live in Christ, has always hated Christ. It hates Christ for many reasons, just as darkness would hate light. But this is telling us that the hate of the world should not leave you with a sense of guilt. For this reason, that there is no one out there to hate you. There is no one out there to be unfriendly to you. There is no one out there to deprive you of anything. There's no one out there to kill you. There is nobody on the face of the earth who can kill you. There is no germ on the face of the earth that can infect you. Why? Because you are the invisible spirit of God. And as long as you think you can be killed or infected, you're in your false identity. You're not in your true identity. All hate coming against us, all animosity, all lack, all imitation, is nothing more than world mind picture. And all it needs to evaporate is our conscious awareness of its nature. Unless we can recognize it, it continues to move right through us and expressing in us. And the world that hates you isn't external to you at all. It is your own human mind hating the Christ. Your own human mind is the servant of the world mind. Whatever is in the world mind, your human mind is in one way or another being subject to. And this is the eternal inner conflict between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh hates the spirit because the spirit will deprive the flesh of its pleasures. The flesh is the world mind in us, personalized as our person. and it turns against the spirit. The hate is within our own self. It is never out there. There is no external. The external is nothing but the world mind in ourselves. And so the Christ wants us to know that if you think you're being hated, remember, it has always appeared that way on earth, that Christ was being hated. Christ was never being hated, except by the false world mind, a mind that has no presence and no capacity and no power. When you're in Christ, you know there is no such thing as hate, because all is Christ. And therefore, for you, hate has no meaning. You turn this truth around to know that what is being revealed here is that where Christ is felt, understood, accepted, love will shine through. Now what we're doing is building a consciousness of the invisible Christ self as a bulwark against the domination of the world mind, which has made every man on earth a serpent. There's no way out of it except through Christ consciousness, the invisible vine. Now there are going to be continued killings on this earth. And they are all a sign, or should be a sign to us, that where a killing appears, it is a temptation to believe in its reality. It is telling us that God is not there. We cannot accept a killing as a reality. Therefore, we cannot retaliate against a killing. We resist not evil. Why? Because the Christ in us says, only the invisible Christ is there. No one is killing and no one is being killed. And this makes no sense to the human consciousness. Nonetheless, it is the Christ method, and you will discover, if you haven't need to, that it is better protection than an arsenal of artillery. The Antichrist is the world mind, but don't mistake it as out there. The world mind is your human mind. And the Antichrist is within our human selfhood, and it hates the Christ. The battle of consciousness against the Antichrist is right where you are, not out there. You have to overcome the Antichrist mind in you, not in the world. And that Antichrist mind in you wants to see an Arab killing and positively identify it that way. That mind you must overcome. Then you've overcome the world mind in you. It won't make any difference. Once you've overcome the belief in an Arab killing, you've overcome the whole complete illusion of form. Then you can look at the body being attacked by a germ the same way. If we were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Once Christ in you has become more dominant and you are awake to Christ, this other side of you, this human self, seems to be in a higher reactive stage. There's a heightening of the inner conflict. They're never expressing a conflict out there. It is an inner conflict between the rising Christ and the descending sense of humanhood. The personal self puts up the fight. But the real battlefield is in the world consciousness and in the Christ consciousness, which meet in you as the human sense of mind and the Christ mind. In you is the battlefield. And when you solve it in you, Christ in you has overcome the world. Now let's not make the mistake then of identifying evil in this world. Let's not fall into the human trap. That would be letting Christ in us die while we live in the human consciousness. Letting the tempter within fool us into living in the kingdom of the world instead of the kingdom of the Father. I have chosen you. And therefore, if you live in Christ, I, who go unto the Father, will perfect and perform all that concerneth thee. Our faith in Christ includes with it the capacity to know that the Christ which is present brings with it the power to overcome the world illusion. Let's try meditation now. One of the great illusions of the world mind is time. We all have a sense of time, but Christ doesn't. And so let's make this meditation a beginning effort to step out of time. Let's see that right now in Honolulu. It's about 3 hours earlier. And so if it were 2 o'clock here, it would be 11 o'clock there. And in Denmark, it would be another time, and in every other country, another time. So we would have different times. And yet, those different times are all right now. So that now, it is this time here, but now it is that time there, and another time somewhere else. We can have 10 or 15 or 20 different times on the earth, but they're all at this moment of now. Now let's get out of the changing times. And let's just substitute the word now, because it is now in every country of the globe. It may be 3 hours less in Honolulu, but it is now. Now just as it is now everywhere, but 3 hours less in Honolulu, let's go ahead to 2 a.m. this morning, or tomorrow morning. It'll be tomorrow here at 2 a.m., but it'll still be today in Honolulu. And yet, while it's today here, and yesterday there, or tomorrow here and today there, it is always now, the same now. Now let's stretch that 3 hours to 3 centuries. And let's see that it's conceivable that it being now in God, it is always now in God, regardless of what time it is on the earth. Whether it's 20th century or 17th century. In God, it's now. And so when you're in spirit, you're not in the time of day, or in the time of day in the country you happen to be in, you're in the now of God. And so whatever happens in now of God is happening. Now the things that happen here today in this world, in this so-called 20th century, are distorted out picturings of the world mind about what is in the now of God. The things that happened in the first century were distorted out picturings of the world mind about what is in the now of God. And that now, which was counterfeited in the first century by the world mind and counterfeited in the 20th by the world mind, that now is now. You can't change it. There's only now in God. And so your past is not a past at all. Your future is not a future. There's no time differential in the now. Everything that is existent in God is now. And because you exist in God as the Christ of God, everything is now. You are walking just as much in what came forth as the first century as you are walking in the 20th. You are walking just as much in the 30th century as you are walking in the 20th. You see, we walk in the now of infinity in spirit. And the way that comes forth in your experience is very amazing. When you are living in that now. In the time picture, you came forth into form, you grew up, and you will go out of form. But that only happens in time. 1920 you came, 19 something you go, this is the time picture. But in the now, that isn't happening. In the now, you didn't come into form and go out of form. In the now, you are always existent. What we want to do in this meditation is to get the awareness that in my spiritual self, I am in the now which remains, which is always existent. I'm not in the changing time form, which comes and goes. I'm not a servant of the world mind, because that's all the changing time form is. I'm a friend of Christ. As a friend of Christ, I really am that living Christ, which lives in the infinite now, not in changing time. In that now, I am always existent. I have a complete, total life which extends far back beyond recorded time. Before Abraham was, I am.